You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Some of the signs and symptoms generally are they frequently, or they've got an increased thirst, so they're drinking more water than usual. They're off to urinate, so they're wanting to go outside more frequently. You may notice that they've lost weight, despite that they've got a good appetite.
Okay.
They're still eating,
but
they could lose a bit of weight, and tiredness, so lethargy. You might see them sort of sloping around a little bit more than usual.
Right. Is it dangerous to leave it undiagnosed?
So some of the things that causes pet diabetes is an unhealthy diet. So we love to feed or overfeed, well, free feed sometimes. We think that, they always, cats and dogs always look hungry, don't they? Well, mine certainly does. So that's free feeding. Sometimes we feed them the wrong food, and we call it food kindness. So feeding them all the good scraps from the barbecue. So too high sugar, too high fat can put them into that, that chubby state, and it can trigger off some diabetes.
Mm. So free feeding is just feeding at any point of the day. They stand by their bowl, basically.
Yeah, or just sitting beside you. You might be having your afternoon tea or something, and they're sitting there going, with those pitiful eyes, look at me,
yes.
can I have half of your sweet biscuit? That's what we call that free feeding. So they've really not got a routine or diet.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing is to, how to avoid it is to look at, maintaining a healthy diet. Try and purchase your food or your pet food as high as you can. So look at your affordability and say, mm-hmm. Can I afford this? And if you can, go for the highest quality pet food that you can afford,
mm-hmm.
something that's low in sugars, low in carbohydrates, and measure it out. I think that's the key thing. So measure it out, and if you've got a pet that has, two feeds a day, make sure you're sticking to good portions and weighing it out correctly.
So sort of how we look at the back of packets for our own food, we should be doing the same for our pets?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Regular exercise, obviously. Get out and, get your walks and make sure that they're getting outside and getting their regular, walks every day, and also regular vet checks. So early detection is really key to maintaining this as well.
So what does happen after diagnosis? Does it mean monthly trips to the vet and constant monitoring?
Constant monitoring, absolutely. It could even mean injections, so insulin injections for the pets. So, and that can be very challenging as well. So that could be daily or twice daily insulin injections to get your dog, which, can be quite distressing for both parties. So I think for us it's early prevention, and if you can maintain all the good dietary and all the good exercise and regular checks, then you can avoid that as well. So prevention is better than the cure, is what we say.
What are your thoughts on cat and dog treats that they sell at the supermarkets? They make them slightly cushioned. At what point do you tell when to take caution?
I think it's treat cautiously. Have a read of the packet. Obviously, it'll show you the fat and the sugar contents. A lot of those high commercial products are, quite high and unrecognised fats. So if you can, if you are training, maybe, just some raw, not raw chicken, but some cooked chicken might be a better treat. I think all treats are good, but in moderation.
Okay. Do pets enjoy having a routine? Is it actually beneficial for them to have a set out times and meals?
Yeah, absolutely. So that you'll often see a lot of the trainers say, put their food down, get them to eat it in a certain time frame, and then take it away. So they're not always grazing. I think that's a key thing as well. So don't always leave food out for them to be grazing on. So if they've not finished it, take it away, and then you might want to look at how much portion size you've given them, and then stick to a routine. Yep.
Are there any breeds that are more prone to wolfing down anything in proximity?
Oh, look, I've had a Labrador in the past. He was a real hoover. We used to call him Hoover. So as soon as his food went down, he'd literally blink twice and it would be gone. But there are certain breeds that will be hoovers. There's some that just, you know, take it in their stride. So I think most pet owners will know their type of dog that they've got or the cat that they've got. So, yeah.
As a final piece of advice, how do you check that your pet is in the right weight range?
Yeah, look, I think there's a lot of helpful sites. So if you do your Google searching, most of the main food manufacturers have some really helpful sites. There's Purina, Royal Canin, Hills. They've all got really helpful sites on nutrition, and they will give you sort of a range for your pet or the breed that you've got, and it sort of gives you the characteristics. Most pet stores, or when you buy the more high-end food, they have breed specifics. So if it's a working type dog, or if it's a Labrador, Golden Retriever, they have all of that specified on the back of the packets. So I think there's a lot of research. Your vets are good, you know, your local vet and your local pet stores are certainly the best ones to be asking those advice. But I always say, look, read the back of the packets. We often don't do it, but it's surprising, and they'll give you a cup and you can measure out exactly what is, you know, the ideal for the pet. And as they get older, it's also worth noting that as they get older, they don't need quite so much. So you may need to modify it as they're getting into more the senior range, and you can buy senior food specifically for that breed as well.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.